This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Dave, we have our list of dream interviewees, people we talk about often and have become a part of the Different Strokes story, if you will. People like Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child, Sophie Ellis-Bextor, and also on this list is our next guest. Heather Hogan is a blogger and assistant editor of AfterEllen.com, who through her TV recaps has managed to accumulate a slew of fangirls across the world. So I'm going to try and suppress my fangirlness for this interview and say welcome to Different Strokes, Heather Hogan.
Hi, it's good to be at Different Strokes. But now I'm embarrassed after hearing you say that, so I'll climb up.
Oh, well, do you want me to read what you had written? You were quite nice enough last night when I was struggling with writing an intro for this interview to give me what you thought I should say, and so I'm going to read it now.
Oh, yes.
Heather Ann Hogan writes the gay internet and loves kookaburras who, come to think of it, are also gay. Much better than my intro.
I should probably change my Facebook profile to say that.
So, Heather, how did you get started at After Ellen?
Well, I got started because I left a comment one day. There was some shenanigans going on, and some people were being horrible, and I left a comment. And Sarah Warren, who is the founder of After Ellen and the editor-in-chief at the time, she emailed me to thank me for my comment, and I sent her back this, like, 12-page fangirl letter. She was so flattered, I guess, that she Googled me and found my personal blog, and she asked me if I wanted to maybe write a little bit for After Ellen. And so I'm an accountant, and I was, like, working in this cube and, like, you know, praying for the day someone would ask me to write something.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, we can't pay you much money, like, I don't know, $2 a post or something. I mean, if she had said, you'll have to pay us $200 a month to write for us, I would have been like, okay, where do I send my check? So she just let me start there, and I wrote a couple posts a week, and she just really gave me a lot of, you know, artistic freedom and confidence, and then, you know, they let me write more and more, and then they made me an assistant editor. And
do you actually have much choice over what topics you write on?
Yeah, they actually, all of our bloggers and writers have a lot of choice about what we want to write on, because, you know, when people are writing about stuff they don't care about, you can tell, and that's no fun. So we get to write about, you know, most of the time we get to write about things that we're all passionate about, as long as it's women, gay women, you know.
How do you decide what you're going to write on?
Like, for me, I just think, what do Skins fans want to read today? And I write about that. You know, no, whatever's kind of making the news, and, you know, whatever, if there's big gay stuff or lesbian stuff in the news, we write about that. We don't cover a lot of political kind of things, but entertainment stuff and gay icons and things like that, just whatever we think people want to read about, and I tend to write about sillier things.
Now, Dave actually read some of your blog for the first time today.
I loved it.
Thank you.
It feels like you can't say otherwise.
No, it's amazing. I love the post that you did when Katy Perry was basically dissing Lady Gaga for, you know, apparently using certain Catholic themes in her music video. And, you know, really, that exactly captures what I was thinking about the whole situation.
Well, she was insane. What the heck was she talking about?
Katy Perry just gets wrath, like, everywhere she goes.
We're not big lovers.
I don't like her very much either. If you are going to marry Russell Brand, you don't have any right to talk crap about anybody else. Shut your mouth.
I guess we were talking a little bit about, you kind of mentioned the Skins situation.
Yeah.
You do Skins recaps for those playing at home who don't actually know. And what I kind of love about the Skins recaps, before we get into the crazy fangirls, is that you're very analytical with what you write. So you write, I hadn't watched the episodes before I read your actual recap. It's such an interesting thing to get inside someone else's head and see what they think of a show. But then you've got Rofi, who's on the other side, Friends of Different Strokes, Rofi, we're going to claim them as friends, I really feel like your recaps and their recaps are like these perfect accompaniments for each other.
They're kind of my soulmate. They're my soulmates.
How would you describe that relationship, I guess?
I kind of feel like about Rin and Sophie, I found them after I finished recapping. I had not been involved in the Skins fandom in any way, and it sounds disingenuous to say it now, but I didn't know anybody was reading the recaps or talking about them from After Ellen. So somebody emailed me and said, you should go read this recap on a live journal for that these two girls, Wolfie, wrote. And I went to the live journal, and I think the recap was 2 pages, and it took me 2 hours to get through. I was laughing so hard that I would have to like shut my laptop down and come back to it. Like tears just streaming down my face. When I was reading the recaps, I felt like the first time I like got my hands on a Spider-Man comic. Like, here are people with superpowers using their power for good. I totally fell in love with it.
So how do you go about the process of recapping then?
Well, for Skins recaps, this is my secret shame.
Yeah.
I was never going to write about Skins. I was never even going to watch Skins, because when I first started writing for After Ellen, we had worked on this huge project, and I had been awake for like 2 straight days, and at 4 a.m. the day that it was going to go live, our editor emailed me, mm-hmm. and she said, you know, you left Naomi and Emily off of this list, and I didn't know who they were at the time. I mean, they were just a blip on my radar.
Oh,
and, you know, I hadn't been asleep, it was the middle of the night, and I said, well, just leave them off, and if people get angry, then they'll just get angry. And oh my God, I have never gotten the kind of hate mail. Like, people were like, you know, the one girl literally said, I can't believe you left Naomi and Emily off this list. You are a miserable hack, and you will die alone.
Oh my God.
Serious fangirl.
So I was like, I was so furious about that, and I was like, okay, well, forget it. I will never watch Skins. I will never write about Skins. And, you know, I said it to anybody who would listen to me. I must have emailed our editor 20 times. I will never write about Skins. I hate this show. The fans are the worst. So sometime after that, before the 4th series, I got the flu, and I was stuck in bed, and I had watched Mean Girls like 20 times on my laptop, and I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll just watch Skins. So I watched the 3rd series in one day, and then I watched it again the next day, and I was so in love with it. But I wasn't going to tell anybody. I was too proud. You know, I just made such a big deal about how much I hated it. So anyway, I thought, I couldn't go back on it then. So then the day before the 4th series was going to air, we realized we needed to recap it after Ellen. And I said, okay, I'll recap it, but I will only write short recaps, and I will not feel any feelings. I'll just recap it, and we'll talk about how pretty Lily Loveless is. And that's all. That obviously didn't go for it.
And now the rest is history, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, by the second recap, I was like bleeding all over the page about how in love I was with the show, so there was no hiding it. Once I started writing about it, I was just like, you know, there was no hiding how much I loved it.
Your recaps, like I said before, are really analytical, and you're kind of creating a story in a way, and there is an ongoing narrative to your actual recaps. Are you aware of what that is going to be, or does it just happen?
No, I mean, I think that's all down to the Skins writers, because, if I'm saying, here's how I understand this narrative to be playing out, and the writing is good on the show, mm-hmm. then it would make sense that ties back to other things. And now that I'm recapping the 3rd season, like, retrospectively, I see things that I didn't even see when I was recapping the 4th series, and I'm like, oh, you know, these recaps have been so much better if I had noticed this the first time.
So I guess the thing is now, it's taken on a life of its own, and the people who actually make Skins have paid attention to your recap. Does that put any additional pressure onto you?
It's almost too surreal to even think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, to think that, and Brian Nelsley, the creator of Skins, has become like a good friend of mine. And so to think that he read those recaps and liked something about them, it's just mind-boggling. But I really try not to think about it, you know, when I'm writing the recaps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just too intimidating if I think about it like that. In fact, it's too intimidating to think about anybody reading the recap. So it's a good thing that I wasn't on Twitter or anything when the fourth series was going on, because I could not have handled the pressure. I would have choked.
What kind of feedback do you get? I mean, we've been joking about the fangirls, but what kind of feedback do you get from people?
It's great. I mean, we deal with a lot of lesbian fans of lesbian super couples, and they tend to be very, you know, myopic. They know what they want, and they expect a certain level of fan service, but the Skins fans are just so appreciative. I mean, I don't know if it's because it's, you know, a show that aired in Britain originally, or, you know, I don't know what it is, but they're just the nicest. The way we got started was no good, but now, they're my favorite. Skins fans are my absolute favorite.
And how do you handle that expectation that you've obviously got from your audience in terms of what they want from you?
As long as I'm writing about Naomi and Emily, whom I adore, that's, like, never a problem. You know, because all I write about is how much I love them, and then they're like, oh, but I love them too, so we have that in common.
Yeah.
It's all of us when you start writing about things that people don't like other characters, Cook, for example, or JJ, start trying to incorporate that kind of stuff. That's when people start getting really pissy. As long as you keep it with your Naomi love, everybody's fine.
My last question to you before we move into the fangirl questions. What should we be watching that we're not watching?
Chuck. Are you watching Chuck?
I totally love Chuck. I talk
it's
about Chuck
the
all
best
the time.
Show.
I made Dave watch about 2 or 3 episodes of Chuck, and he was not as impressed as I would have liked him to be.
Yeah, what's up with that? No taste. He hasn't watched Skins either, has he?
No, he hasn't. He has not watched any Skins.
Oh.
I had to do this whole thing. I went on a rant a bit earlier, and I was like, I was so mad at the end of season 2 of Skins that I wasn't going to watch season 3. And I was like, I'm not going to tell you what happened at the end of season 2, because you are going to watch it one day. And he just looked at me blankly, of course.
I'm sure I will watch it one day, Jade. I will. I promise you I will. As soon as you watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
I watched 2 episodes. That's enough.
2 episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race, 2 episodes of Chuck Westwood.
I watched Damages.
There should probably be like a 3-to-1 ratio for that. So, like, for every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, you should watch 3 episodes of Chuck. So you know we're 6 episodes now.
So we're going to move into fangirl questions now. Dave, do you want to start with the first one?
Okay, so fangirl question number 1 is, what's your favorite TV pairing of all time?
My favorite TV pairing?
Mm-hmm.
I better say Naomi and Emily, huh?
I'm sure you could say someone else.
Naomi and Emily are my favorite lesbian TV pairing. My favorite other pairing, and this is so cliche to say this, but I really love Ross and Rachel.
I thought you were going to say that. I just had a feeling.
It is. It's so cliche, but I love it. And I love Chuck and Sarah. Too, from Chuck.
Yes.
I also love me and Sarah together.
So we all love ourselves and Sarah together.
That's right.
Okay, here's one. What Aussie animal would you be and why?
Well, what animal would I be?
Aussie animal. It has to be a Australian. Yes. And why?
Well, because it, you know, it's gay. Sits in a gum tree. Laughs. I mean, that's pretty much what I do all day. Gum tree. If that were the internet. Yeah. Sits in front of the internet. Laughs. Is gay. That's me. That's me.
Simple equation. The next question is, did you always want to be a writer?
I kind of feel like that's asking me if I always wanted to be an astronaut, because I never dreamed of being a writer, because I didn't think I could. I mean, I really, even now, even today, after I've been writing for so long, I feel like I really am just an accountant masquerading as a writer, and at any moment somebody's going to bust in and be like, get back to that cubicle and start adding those numbers together. But, you know. So, no, I didn't always want to be a writer, because I didn't feel like it was something that I should ever dream for, because I didn't feel like it was something I could accomplish. So.
What are your 5 favorite novels?
My 5 favorite novels?
This is where it gets a bit, dating profile from here on out, just a warning.
Dating profile. I'm going to count the Harry Potter novels as 1 big novel. Those are my all-time favorite. And The Tale of Despereaux by Kate DiCamillo is another favorite of mine. And To Kill a Mockingbird, Anne of Green Gables, and Pride and Prejudice. No, Emma. Hard to pick a favorite Jane Austen novel.
Now, speaking of Harry Potter, which Hogwarts house would Rophie be in?
Oh, well, they're in 2 different houses. See, because I think that Sophie is definitely a Ravenclaw, and Ren is a Gryffindor. So they would be like a Ravendor or a Gryffindor together.
I think that's really funny, because Dave and I are both sitting here like, we don't know what that means.
You haven't read Harry Potter?
No.
No.
Dave, what do you do with your... Seriously, what do you do with your dates, Dave? You don't watch Chuck, you don't watch Kids, you haven't read Harry Potter.
He watches his goldfish,
like wasting
that's
your
it.
Life away.
I pretty much Twitter stalk Sophia Lispector and Michelle Williams.
Okay, I respect that.
It takes a lot of time. Okay, here's... Again, I'm sure that you are tired of hearing this question. When are you writing a novel?
After I finish my Skins recap, and then and then finish my epic Skins fan fiction. No, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. You know what I have done is I told this to Rin yesterday that I've been writing fan fiction since the first time I read Little Women, because when things end in a sad way, I feel like I have to rewrite it to reframe my imagination. Like, one thing that I started doing in college was rewriting all Jane Austen novels with lesbian protagonists. So maybe one day I'll publish that series of books.
Well, you know, that's very in right now to do that.
There is a market for that. Yeah, I would read that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure you would, Dave. Sure you would.
I'm a big Little Women fan. I want to read the fan
and
fiction.
And he's a huge Heather Hogan fan.
Little Women is the saddest story ever.
I want an autograph book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave, I think this you're going to have to think carefully about this one, Heather. I think this is going to get a bit hatey.
Okay. So there are three options: marry, do, or die. The options are Katie, Emily, or Naomi.
No, I can't do that. No. Okay, I don't want to kill any of them because I'm still upset about Freddie dying and I didn't like him very much. Let's see. Assuming that they were all aged 10 years, and I'm still the same age, I suppose I would marry Naomi. I can't say do Emily. I'm sorry, I can't. She's too young.
Even when you're plus 10 years.
Even I can't. I'm sorry, my head won't go there.
And no?
I can't. You know what? Never mind. I'm gonna marry Katie Fitz. Me and Katie would be a great pair.
Yeah.
Because I'm like Emily. She likes Emily. Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Me and Katie. Forever.
What is the best and worst thing about writing for a gay audience?
The best thing is that I think that there's, you know, politically, at least in America, gay people feel very oppressed right now. And I think that because I tend to be a generally optimistic person, one of my favorite things about writing for the gay internet is that, you know, I think I can infuse situations with humor and grace and maybe, you know, maybe just make people feel a little happier, a little more cheerful, like a little more connected. And I think that's important, like in the current climate, to just not default to just a place of, you know, feeling put upon or oppressed, but to be able to connect with people. I think I like that a lot. And the worst thing is when Skins fans attack you because you left Naomi and Emily off a list and then almost ruined your opportunity to love a really good ship. No, I mean, really, it is hard to write about lesbian couples because there are so few of them and people have so many feelings. So that I like it, but it's hard.
Okay, now this one is once again very dating profile. Describe your perfect day.
My perfect day? All right, here's what we'll do. Me and Jade and Dave, we're hanging out. We have a traditional Australian breakfast. I try to like Vegemite. We put in a little Chuck. We watch some Chuck on DVD. Then, you know, when we're tired of that, we move on to Skin. And then it'll be nap time, so we'll have a little nap. And as we're going to sleep, I'll start reading a little Harry Potter to Dave. And he will fall immediately in love with it, right?
Yeah.
You guys take your nap, wake up, we'll finish Chuck and Skins. And then by that time, I feel like Dave will trust me with everything that, you know, every kind of entertainment. And then he'll finish reading the Harry Potter series. And then I'll just feel like my life is complete.
That is the best perfect day ever.
It sounds, I mean.
I know, I thought. Oh, you know what, though? We should also go to the zoo and visit some kookaburras.
Absolutely. That sounds perfect.
I'm totally partial to the wombat, so we're going to drop by the wombat.
Okay, we could, yeah, definitely wombat.
What writers influence your writing?
I guess whatever I'm reading at the time probably influences what I'm writing. Lately, I've been reading a lot of Barbara Kingsolver. She's a word magician. I just love her, so I think she probably influences a little bit. My favorite recapper ever is Scribe Girl, who used to write for After Ellen, and she recapped the L Word, and she's just...
Yes, she was so
she's
good.
She's like the kind of person who always... She's so great. She's a friend of mine now, but she... She's like that person that can't use the wrong word. You know, she will just slave and slave over just finding just the right word, and it just always pays off. I love her writing. So she influenced me a lot. In fact, when I first found her recap, I stayed up all night and just read them all the way through, and I was like, my dream come true. My total dream come true would be to be able to write a recap for After Ellen one day.
I absolutely hate the L word, but I loved those recaps.
I hate the L word, too. Worst show ever.
It's so bad.
Dave's probably watched that, right?
Yeah, it's his favorite show.
I'm being very quiet about it. I've seen one or two episodes, but, you know... Okay, the next question is, what book is currently on your bedside table?
What book is on my bedside table? The Batwoman Elegy, that's the collected edition of all of the Detective Comics, Batwoman comics. So good. Batwoman is sexy.
That's a whole different kind of fangirl.
That's not why it's on my... Yes.
What dish would you take to a gathering?
What dish?
Yes.
Oh, whatever I could pick up from some sort of catering place on the way. I'm a terrible cook. I'm so bad. I hope Katie Fitch can cook or we'll starve to death.
I'm actually having to be taught how to cook as part of a segment for this program because I'm so bad.
I know. I've been listening in.
It's not going very well. Dave was being very nice when he said he liked what I'd cooked.
Now, you and Dave have been promising on Twitter for quite a long time that you were going to do a duet together.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're going to sing I Will Survive.
It's a lifelong dream.
Yes.
And it's such a pleasure for me to say that you are my very first duet partner.
Whatever! I totally did a duet with you all the time.
No, am I really?
Live on radio.
You don't have to read Harry Potter. I love you just for that.
We haven't duetted on radio, that's true. Anyway.
So this is exciting. Yes. So we wanna set the scene. So imagine a stage, smokes are coming out around the corner, a bit of strobe light, Heather Hogan rises from the bottom of the stage. It's just a silhouette at the stage. Sequins are sparkling in the background. That's confetti.
Kookaburra costume.
Kookaburra costume, and you hear the piano. So here we go. Piano goes, first I was afraid, I was petrified.
Kept you're singing too hard for me. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong.
And I learned how to get along.
So now you're back
from outer space.
I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face.
Wow, you have a nice voice. I should have changed that stupid lock.
I should have made you leave your keys.
If I had known for just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me.
Go now, go.
Walk out the door.
Just turn around now.
Cause you're not welcome anymore.
Weren't you the one who tried to break me with goodbye?
Did you think I'd crumble?
Did you think I'd lay down and die?
Oh no, not I.
I will survive.
Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive.
I got all my life to live.
And I've got all my love to give.
I will survive.
I will survive.
And together now.
Hey, hey. Hey.
My favorite radio moment.
Oh,
ever.
I hope you're going to auto-tune that.
Heather Hogan, that was such a pleasure. The sequins.
It was
and
my pleasure. Thank you.
Confetti's coming down. Flowers are being thrown at us.
It was awesome.
This is the best day
ever.
This is the best day ever.
So thank you very much for joining us on Different Strokes, Heather Hogan. If you want to catch up with Heather, you can do so at arthurellen.com. She writes the best recaps ever. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it.
You are the Beyonce of our show.
You totally are.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.